David Miller is sitting outside on a beautiful Sunday morning. In front of him is a small styrofoam box, a plastic cup in a sealed plastic bag, a small plastic jar, and a few sheets of paper.
I'm a doping control officer, a DCO, and I go to different events to conduct sampling.
And by sampling, he means urine. For the last 5 years, Miller, who's a retired steel worker, has to get pro cyclists to pee in a cup right after a race.
And I walk over toward you, you know that your sheet has been filled out.
That's right. Miller tells a rider they're going to be tested by literally handing them paperwork to sign.
And you have a half an hour to get to the doping station.
Usually the rider is the winner, the overall race leader, or random other riders. And during that half hour, Miller is watching from a distance to make sure nothing fishy is taking place. Eventually, the rider heads into a room in a building or tent nearby.
Once you get inside, there'll be a doctor with me. They'll be like a secondary person to just see what's going on. And I'll ask you to pick a kit.
And we should say kits normally are the fabulous jerseys that riders are wearing, but this is a very different kind of kit.
This is a pee collection.
The kit is a styrofoam cube about the size of a box a new cell phone comes in. The rider being tested has to pick that and a see-through plastic bag that has a cup in it.
And then you will disappear with the doctor or the nurse. And I'm going to tell you that I need 100.
Milliliters, that is, and that can be a problem. Imagine riding your bike for several hours, and maybe you're not used to riding at altitude. The most common thing Miller hears is, "I can't pee." There is a backup plan for this. More on that in a minute, but let's say the rider can pee, and they bring back a full 100 milliliter pee cup.
And from that point on, I don't touch it. I don't touch anything that could be construed that I put some kind of a residue on something, so you'll just hold on to this yourself.
Time for the styrofoam box.
You're going to look for this as not being tampered with, because that's the seal. It could be a little stubborn. Pull it up this way, breaks that seal, and on the inside, you have your own little test kit, and these are the two bottles. We have an A bottle, and we have a B bottle.
First, the rider has to make sure that the ID numbers match on all the pieces of the kit.
And I don't touch. The only thing I'll touch any of this with is that pencil, that right there.
The rider, not Miller or any other doping control officer, fills each bottle with urine from their pee cup. And the rider is responsible for screwing on the top of the bottles, too, which have metal teeth as part of their seal. Then the rider puts each bottle in a plastic bag and back into the styrofoam box. But there's another step before that can be sent to the lab. Miller then visually inspects the rider's urine, checking to see if a rider has a good enough quality urine sample to be tested. If it meets that threshold, everything wraps up. Now, if a cyclist really can't pee, they'll give what they can, drink water, and try again. And again, until they produce a total of 100 milliliters. The entire test can take anywhere from 10 to 25 minutes. At the end, there's some final paperwork and a chat with a doctor.
Have you taken anything in the last 2 weeks? Drugs or stuff over the counter? So if something pops up when they're doing the test, they'll know. And then I'll ask you if you have a therapeutic use exemption. That's just a list of something that you might have to take just to stay alive that might show up.
On a side note, Lance Armstrong at least once may have gotten away with doping by exploiting this step, by producing a doctor's prescription after testing positive for a banned substance. Anyways, after the paperwork is over during the pro-challenge pee test, doping control officer David Miller takes everything back to his room and ships off the samples the next morning. They're sent to one of two labs in the U.S. authorized to review drug tests. The fastest turnaround might be a few days after a race. And then the real drama could begin. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Elise Thatcher.